top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
Good afternoon. This is the midday news for today, Thursday, March 23rd, 2023. I'm your presenter for this involvement in the headlines.
Top of the hour.
Host of Q95's Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire, wonders whether Dominicans are taking note of the impending doom of their disgracing democracy and urges them to fight to change course. During a regional security system Council of Ministers meeting on Wednesday in Grenada, member states were told corruption must be addressed in order to contain the problem of illegal firearms. And French President Emmanuel Macron sparked more crippling strikes on Wednesday. And airport traffic is now badly affected after he declared he would move forward with plans to raise the retirement age. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliment of Scott's Dominica Limited. Details coming up next.
You into the agricultural industry? Do you want the funds to grow your business? Quartz Ready Cash Small Business Loans is launching the $20 million Agricultural Fund. All you need to apply is your ID, proof of address, and two references, and you will receive the funding to get the equipment, tools, products, staffing, and services to grow your business. Plus, you pay nothing down, get flexible payment terms, fast approval, and convenient hassle-free service. Don't hesitate. Apply today at www.readyfinancecaribbean.com or call 275-7671 or 448-7655. Quartz Ready Cash Small Business Loans. Every day we help businesses succeed.
Host of Q95's Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire, wonders whether Dominicans are actually noting their decreasing democracy in their country. He advises Dominicans to read the writing on the wall, indicating their nation's impending doom, and pay attention. Gregoire emphasizes that only Dominicans can save themselves, but he is concerned as to whether they will put up a fight to change course.
The DLP regime in office likes the electoral system exactly the way it is now, given the most recent statements from its leader. Are we, in fact, witnessing the rise and fall of Dominica's democracy? Is that what we're seeing right before our eyes? Is Dominica walking towards a precipice? Are we on the brink, on the edge? Dominicans should heed all of the signs of the destruction of their nation. Dominicans must now read the writing on the wall, because Dominicans are the only ones who can save themselves. But are they ready and willing to do so?
In order to return Dominica to the road of genuine democracy, human rights, civil freedoms, and economic freedom for free and fair elections, Gregoire perceives that electoral reform is clearly the way to go. He is concerned whether Sir Denis Barron's legislative recommendations might assist Dominica's democracy nevertheless.
Electoral reform is obviously the way forward to steer Dominica back on the path of true democracy, human rights, civil liberties, free speech, free media, and economic freedom through free and fair elections on a level playing field. Let me have a level playing field and then let the chips fall where they may, who run for election, who win-win, who lose-lose. But will the Denis Barron reforms advance the cause of democracy in Dominica? Will they create a level playing field? Will his final report restore faith in our democratic system of electing a government? Or will it contain hidden traps? Or as a friend of mine would say, will it contain diable sac? Or will the DLP regime leader table the right laws in parliament?
Host of Q95's Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire. According to Justice Dr. Irvin Andre, looking for concrete electoral reform in Dominica is as ineffective as looking for proof of the island's prospective past. He adds that we are unable to find meaningful electoral reform in contrast to all of our Caribbean sister islands.
Let me indicate by saying that the search for meaningful electoral reform in Dominica is as futile as the search for evidence of Dominica's productive past, such as, for example, a can of dumb fruit orange juice Bello guava cheese, a pair of Bai Trini, a pair of jeans, or probably some crabbacks at this time of the year. Now, unlike all our sister islands in the Caribbean, we cannot seem to locate true electoral reform. Why?
He emphasizes that some in the political directorate are still determined to mislead Dominicans about electoral reform in spite of the OAS findings, specific instances in other Caribbean islands, and a significant suggestion from the CCG. Their aim appears to be to come up with a patchwork of recommended reforms that would solidify their hold on power and establish the groundwork for continuous control. Justice Andrew explores the fact that they have retained a Goliath in the judicial fraternity.
Despite reports from the OAS, a current prime minister in the Caribbean, a group of concerned citizens, blessed by a reverend pastor, despite concrete examples in other Caribbean islands, despite an important ruling from the CCJ, those in the political directorate are still hell-bent on hoodwinking Dominica about electoral reform. They have retained a Goliath in the judicial fraternity to come up with a patchwork of proposed reforms that would cement their hold in power and lay the foundation for their stranglehold over the reins of power.
And that was Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. Dr. Simone Mathieu, an associate professor of psychology, notes that Dr. Alwyn Bully's legacy is still being upheld, but emphasized that we need to encourage the subsequent generations to carry on the legacy he left for us. Dr. Mathieu made these remarks while a law professor described the influence that Dr. Bully had on his life's journey. She made the point that we need to place the necessary emphasis on the authorities in the cultural industry to take action to remember Dr. Alwyn Bully and carry on his legacy for the generations to come and beyond.
And you know, Professor, you know, you're just reiterating so much of everything everyone has said, how selfless Alwyn was in terms of just giving to Dominica. And I'm so happy that we continue to honor his legacy. But as I always say, we have to build on the legacy that our heroes, such as Alwyn Bully, have left for us by encouraging the next generation to continue and encouraging the authorities to do something, not just to honor his memory, but to continue to build on the legacy. So I'm so happy that you were able to he was able to have that impact on your life, and you were able to share with us how he impacted your life.
Dr. Simone Mathieu, Associate Professor of Psychology. Also in the local news, women today have been told we have it all: careers, families, kids, community involvement, and relationships. But all too often, having it leaves us with no time or strength left for ourselves. Recent research has shown that women today are less happy than they have been over the past 40 years. There are many theories about why, but lack of free time can be a major reason. DPSU Vice President Delia Coffeywick says women need to give themselves the time they need to recover from difficult situations, and if not, they will eventually crumble.
Yes, and so, one day at a time, this is what we have to remember as women, because regardless of how resilient we are, if we do not give ourselves the time that we need, we're going to break down.
She keeps emphasizing how many distinct roles we see women playing, including those of mother and family member, professional, trendsetter, and entrepreneur. She points out that the phase necessitates is that the model of invention only makes sense when we consider how many women have started their enterprises as a result of necessity.
Because we will look at woman in her reproductive role, mother, grandmother, auntie. We will look at woman in her professional role, teacher, nurse, doctor, engineer. We will look at woman as a member of society. We will look at woman as a trendsetter. We will look at woman as an entrepreneur. Because I mean, when we actually look at our own history and we see So many women who started their business out of necessity. We will understand why the saying goes, necessity is the mother of invention, not the father.
And that was Dominica Public Service Union Vice President Mrs. Delia Coffey-Wicks, General Manager of the Dominica Water and Sewage Company Limited, Duasco Bernard Etinoff, stated that in Dominica we take water for granted. He stated that due to the availability of water on the island, people do not cherish water and recognize its importance until it is gone. Etinoff stated that ecosystems have been considerably disrupted as a result of the passage of Tropical Storm Erica, Hurricane Maria, and the trough system that the island has experienced.
In Dominica, we tend to take water for granted. Because we have water in abundance, people tend not to value water and not to see the importance of water until we do not have it. So you find it's raining today and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the river gets very, very turbid. In Dominica, we rely on surface water. But following tropical storm Erica, Hurricane Maria, and the trough systems that we've had, the ecosystem has been disturbed to a large extent, and that all of that is part of climate change. So what we find happening is that the forest cover that was there and holding back all this mud and all this dirt, in some areas they are no longer there. So when it rains, as soon as it starts raining, mud rushes down to the river. And so you cannot supply that water to people in that state.
He mentioned that the company has enhanced treatment facilities at the Antrim facility site, such as the development of a laboratory that will be utilized to conduct various tests, allowing them to offer safe water for consumption even during heavy rainfall.
What we are doing, however, is to increase the treatment facilities. So at Antrim, you see a lot happening there. Somebody accused me of building a disco and an entertainment center at Springfield. Antrim there, nothing further from the truth. What we're doing there is a water laboratory, an improved lab that will ensure that we can test our water, do the necessary sampling, and have water safe for consumption. Even when it's raining like that, we increase our filtration plant so that the amount of water that can be treated will be a lot more and a lot, you know, than what we have right now. At the moment, we can treat about 640 cubic meters per hour, when the turbidity levels probably would rise to 200 thereabout NTUs. But we aiming to close to 1,000 cubic meters per hour that will adequately serve the system that Water Area 1 comprises. That is from Miru all the way to Castle Comfort. Again, I was accused of spending too much money on that system by some villager. The problem with that is this system is a major system for the Wasco. It stretches from Miru all the way to Castle Comfort. Your major hospital is right there. Several hotels, you know, schools and other facilities, government main offices and so forth. So it serves over 33% of Dominica's population actually.
Bernard Etinoff, General Manager of Duasco. President of the Dominica Public Service Union, Steve Joseph, stated last night during the DPSU program that in order for citizens to enjoy freedom, we must reject the dictatorship and the institutions designed to uphold the democracy of the people must continue to operate independently.
If you're going to have people, citizens, enjoy their liberty, we have to ensure that we move away from a dictatorship. That the institutions that are supposed to support our democracy continue to function independently. That when you feel aggrieved in the public service, you should be able to go to the judiciary to get redress. When a piece of legislation has to go to parliament, which is the legislature, that there's widespread consultation,
mm-hmm.
that the citizens and civil society organizations have a role and a say in what goes to the people's parliament, so that governments don't use the parliament as an ammunition to evoke and invoke and to pass laws that are draconian. I think this liberty that we talk about is all about the freedom that people fought for,
mm-hmm.
the struggles, some of people died for it. And now that we have it, we have to manage it better as part of our democracy, as part of our government.
Steve Joseph, president of the Dominica Public Service Union. Finally, in the local news, National Development Foundation of Dominica's executive director, Cletus Joseph, noted that the foundation has become a greener organization in terms of its operations, equipment, and technology used, which has been extended to its numerous customers. He stated that in addition to the green financing loans offered, they also provide clients with programs to assist them create ideas inspired by the green movement. He spoke earlier today about Earth Hour, which will be commemorated worldwide on Saturday, March 25th, 2023.
The NDFD itself has become a green organization in terms of its operations, in terms of the equipment and the technology it utilizes, and we have extended that to our clients who are the reason for us being. They are essentially our raison d'etre, as the saying goes. So we, in whatever we do, we encourage our clients to do so. We have green initiatives. So in addition to the loan financing, green loan financing we have, we do have programs that help our clients to develop business ideas around the green movement to help them to become more environmentally friendly, contribute more to environmental sustainability, and to more or less like adopt the 3 P's strategy of people, planet, and then profits, to ensure that we contribute in a positive way to the sustainability of our businesses, our country, and ourselves as a whole. So we do have that main event, which is scheduled for June, which is called the Green Innovation Summit. We ask people to register for it because it goes through a filtering process. But we do activities that build up to that activity, that event.
Cletus Joseph, Executive Director of NDFD. Meanwhile, Donald Belchasiu, NDFD's Business and Entrepreneurial Development Manager, expanded on the activity that the foundation plans to do in honor of Earth Day on Saturday.
Earth Hour is not something that we developed locally, so it's a global movement that has already been in existence since 2007. So that movement started in Sydney, Australia, mm-hmm. where the initial ask, so to speak, the main ask that the organizers basically ask their followers to do is to switch off their non-essential lights, to basically shine a spotlight on our existing climate crisis. And so imagine millions of homes and buildings, establishments, and even landmarks, you know, switching off their lights for an hour. Right, so that basically helped raise the awareness of people regarding our climate crisis and the urgent need for us to do actions for us to be able to tackle that. So that's the start. So, you know, landmarks all over the world, like say Eiffel Tower in Paris or the Colosseum in Italy, you know, or Sydney Opera in Australia, the Statue of Liberty in New York, switching off their lights. So that's basically the start.
And that was Donald Belchasiu, NDFD's Business and Entrepreneurial Development Manager. In other news, the issue of illegal firearms entering Caribbean countries and related violence was among the topics discussed at the Regional Security Systems Council of Ministers meeting on Wednesday in Grenada, where member states were told that the issue of corruption must also be addressed in order to deal with the problem of illegal firearms. While the region has been relatively quiet in terms of member states not being impacted by climatic events or severe weather conditions over the past year, Commodore Errington Shulen says there has been a noticeable increase in gun violence, which has had a negative impact on some member states. According to Commodore Shulen, this violence imposes a high toll on society, not just in terms of loss of life, but also in terms of physical and psychological trauma. In answer to this dilemma, he contends that both hard and soft measures must be implemented through a whole-of-society strategy, soft via ongoing positive messages to young people with the use of social development programs that regularly target disturbed youths and programs that address addiction concerns. He says the hard responses require a commitment to put in place the required infrastructure to secure borders and prevent guns from entering the space, as well as to treat the issue of corruption. And And French President Emmanuel Macron received a furious response from unions and opposition parties on Wednesday when he declared he will move forward with plans to increase the pension age, rejecting requests from a U-turn in response to mounting public outrage. Unions predicted that a ninth statewide day of protests and strikes on today will bring massive masses in response to Macron's cons and lies. Here's more.
French President Emmanuel Macron drew an angry response from unions and opposition parties on Wednesday when he said he would press on with plans to raise the pension age despite fury among many French people. In his first public comment since pushing through the bill, Macron said in a televised interview he was undeterred.
Donc, oui.
And so this reform is necessary. And I say this to the French people, I don't enjoy doing this. I would have preferred not to do this. But it's also because of a sense of responsibility that I express my commitment to do this in front of you.
The comments did little to smooth things over. On Wednesday, protesters blocked train stations. In Nice, an effigy of Macron was laid on the tracks and thrown into the air. Polls show a wide majority of French are opposed to the pension legislation. And the past six nights have seen fierce demonstrations across France with bins set ablaze and scuffles with police. Macron insists reform is needed to ensure the pension system does not go bust. But this union leader said the new law, pushed through Parliament without a vote last week, and which raises the pension age by 2 years to 64, needs to be stopped.
How can we hear that the street has no legitimacy? How can we hear that the pension reform, despite all the protests, will continue to be implemented? How can we legitimize this crime of democracy with these announcements? No, it has stirred up more hatred.
Socialist Party lawmaker Olivier Faure said Macron is creating the chaos.
He is an absolute pyromaniac on fire. He pushes people toward entrenchment. He creates anger. He's the one who fuels the fire today.
Macron says he wants to re-engage with union leaders. This union member said she's open to talks.
That's the midday news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Host of Q95's Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire, wonders whether Dominicans are taking note of the impending doom of the decreasing democracy and urges them to fight to change course. On Q95. During a Regional Security System Council of Ministers meeting on Wednesday in Grenada, member states were told corruption must be addressed in order to contain the problem of illegal firearms. And French President Emmanuel Macron sparked for more crippling strikes on Wednesday. And airport traffic is now badly affected after he declared he would move forward with plans to raise the retirement age. Regional and global. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Scott's Dominica Limited.
Q95DA.
I've been your presenter for this environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95. The Big Station. Q95.